Good morning and welcome to Being the Change Now. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment is to count the breath and notice joy. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa in Oregon.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hi. Again, finding the practice really helpful. And my most challenging thing is staying present when I'm with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I want guidance around that, if possible.
Say it again, Vanessa.
Oh, I would love guidance around that, if possible. It's just my kind of like, it feels like no matter what I do, it's getting, I feel like it's getting better, but it's just, I'm so triggered, and I'll psych myself up, I'll meditate beforehand, and to be fair, it's almost kind of like a, you know, like almost like a mental illness, like where it's like a groundhog day, there's lots of repeated questions. It's not quote unquote a normal kind of interaction, but I want some guidance with how to, I guess, maybe not feel as triggered, or what do I say?
Well, you know what, Vanessa? Probably yeah. The very best thing to do with this is to call into open air.
Oh, okay.
So that we can really, really have a have an in-depth about it.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Yeah. How are you doing with the assignment?
Well, the joy is, I was trying to bring that into that part of it. And reflecting my mom, I mean, I guess this is like the one thing I really kind of focus on. It has been helpful in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see. Oh, so your mom, who says the same things over and over and over, it sounds like, or asks the same questions over and over and over. Yeah.
Yes.
And now I think you recently had little children, right? I mean, they're a little older now, but recently.
5 and 8. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, 5 and 8. And so we went through the why. Why?
Right.
Why? Why stage? And most parents, of course, get to the point where you just want to start shrieking, but you realize this is a little kid and this is a developmental stage and this is just what happens. And this is actually all about me, right?
Right.
And so for both of us, I bet we wish when we were going through that, we have this practice, right, where we could just reflect it in the head until it can become kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? In that Groundhog Day, and of course, Groundhog Day is such a wonderful image for it because what we got to see is how even though everything in his world stayed exactly the same, he transformed, right? He became the person who would catch the little kid falling out of the tree or help the person with this or whatever it was. And so he became a different person through that process,
right,
even though it seemed as if everything was exactly the same, which it does sound like kind of what you're up against.
Right.
And what we didn't get to see in that film, of course, is what he went through in that process. Right, because there must have been a great deal of frustration and anger and this is insane and I must be crazy and all of those things that we go through before we finally make peace with our life circumstances.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, ego always wants us to be different and do better. While all the time it's making our situation just as miserable as it can possibly make it.
Yep.
That kind of sound like it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And so really, you know, your situation is not that different from your mom's. The content is vastly different.
Mm-hmm.
But the process of being stuck in the same thing, just being stuck in an endless loop, we could almost say her situation is better because she doesn't know it.
Right.
Hopefully she's moved past the stage of knowing that this is happening to her, and then one day you will move past the stage of being focused on this particular content happening to me, and I wish it were different.
Yep. All right. Thank you.
All right. But stay with us, Vanessa.
Okay.
Don't let the voices talk you into, you know, well, I can't participate because I'm still in the same circumstance and I'm still listening to the same voices. And don't go there. Okay. And do call us on open air, because this is such a big conversation, and it's really important. And actually so many people are in the same place as you are. So.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right.
Go happy.
Thank you. Go happy.
Thanks, Vanessa. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Erin in Massachusetts.
Hey, Erin.
So, let's see. I also am living, have a parallel life that I dream of, which is not real in a certain circumstance in my life. And so with this particular content, I was like in a meeting this morning where things were getting kind of hairy, like in my head, and I just was like counting. I was doing it a little bit more like 1, 2, 3, joy, and it was a little, you know, and that at least allowed me to like stay there in the meeting as opposed to just like leaving my body and going somewhere else. So I sort of had less dysregulation, you know what I mean, at that moment, because the dysregulation doesn't help.
And you, by dysregulation, you mean leaving your body and going away, right? Just leaving.
Yeah. Yeah, just like leaving the meeting and my brain and, you know, all the stuff like, I don't want to be here. What are they talking about? I'm not, all the content around that, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that what we're noticing with this particular assignment is how it allows us to stay present and with the circumstance and actually get some, I mean, it doesn't feel like this, right, Erin? But there's a way in which what we're told is we can't stand it.
Mm.
We can't stand what's going to go on inside of me if I stay with what's going in with these circumstances. And so the structure of being able to be there, while it feels initially like a crucible almost, and I really just want to get out of here, it really it's a way by which I can experience the contradiction to the belief that I can't stand it. Because I can't.
Mm-hmm. That is very true.
I would never be able to have that experience.
And additionally, if I'm, quote, I mean, I might as well not be, I might as well not cause my own suffering in the circumstance. You know, like I'm there.
Exactly.
And if I'm saying one joy or, you know, what, just going through that process, then I'm like, I'm not suffering. And then
exactly
I can,
right.
And then I can sort of tack on, okay, now I am going to internally reflect the words they're saying. So it can, you know, then I can sort of tack on the next tool and the next tool and the next tool to kind of be there. But at least I'm not suffering in the moment. Yeah.
Yes, it's an anchor for the attention, because if the attention is on one, it cannot be on a conversation that says, I don't want to be here. This circumstance should not be happening, which is the suffering, right? Because in that one, in the moment that, and you have this experience outside the charged environment, when I'm here, I actually don't experience, I don't want to be here. That experience is not part of the moment. It's only when my attention is on, I don't want to be here, that I'm suffering. And so that's precisely true. We can't suffer if the attention is completely here on one.
And so then it's a matter of like when I start to leave, suffer, all those things, like remembering to say one, like coming back to Erin, like
Yes, but to be with yourself. And so then it's only if I keep counting to one no matter what that one becomes available no matter what. Because the process is the outcome. So if I quit, if I bail in the most charged situations, the training to come for that one to drop in and then to make that movement into internal reflection, which, if we look at what we're actually training in, is it drops in to have the attention here, to be able to stay with one no matter what, as a consequence of which the collapsed awareness begins to expand. I become conscious of the breath. I become conscious of something other than that conditioned impulse to bail. There's more to life than the conversation. And once that happens, my capacity to stay here also expands, because what I'm in is an awareness, not in identification. So I'm training to make that movement.
That is, it's such a good point. I love this training aspect of our practice and putting that metaphor against it, because I do that in other parts of my life, so I can really, I understand that, like, really deeply inside of myself, and I don't often transfer that to this kind of situation, like outside of, say, like a physical training situation.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't bail in physical training, you know? I'm like, in fact, pushing oneself is the whole point. So I'm glad to remember that also. Thank you.
Well, and the element that we bring to this practice is never pushing oneself from a punishing perspective, from a self-hating perspective. It's always compassionate.
Yes. Yes, yeah. True. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you,
Erin. What's so fascinating in these conversations, at least to me, is getting to see how the world of ego duality exists and tortures us. Because in these circumstances, there, as we always say, there isn't a parallel reality in which this is not happening. This is all that is actually happening. You know, if I'm stuck in traffic, there's not another reality of how it should be that I could somehow access if I were the right person. Right? Yeah. This is it. This is the only thing. I'm in this meeting, and this is what's going, that's it. And my choices are to be here and not suffer, or be here and suffer. And what you and Erin just laid out made it so clear how not to suffer, whatever the circumstances.
Yeah.
What the whole thing's about, right?
It's what you were talking about with Vanessa, that the circumstances don't change. You change.
That's right.
And the you
because
that
life is what life is.
Yeah. Well, and then you change, within quotes, by becoming what you are, which is life, not what isn't life. Because that's the only thing that's going on in the suffering.
Yeah, and ego hates everything.
The process.
And life is, ego hates everything and life enjoys everything.
Yeah.
There's the difference.
All right, our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Diana.
Hello, Diana.
So,
what are you seeing?
Well, this has been very challenging. I'm seeing how just the word joy is charged. It's a charged word. It feels like, just noticing joy, I feel like joy is this moving target, like when ego's in charge of noticing. And it's conditional. Joy is supposed to look a certain way and feel a certain way. And if then I'm not noticing joy.
And you're doing it wrong. You're not having the right experience, which is proof that you are the wrong person. And I don't know why you don't just give up.
And there's,
that's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I think what's most interesting is it feels like life and death, and I don't understand that.
Well, it is. You are exactly right. And you are absolutely right. And in much Eastern philosophy, especially, that is the absolute understanding. This is life and death. And the stakes are either ego has you, which is life for ego and death for you. And we don't have to pay too close attention to realize that when ego suffering is in charge of our lives, we feel dead. We are in hell. Okay? Or ego is put out of business and you are alive and ego is dead. So you're absolutely correct. That's precisely what's going on. And ego feels it in every moment. Why else? Why else would it fight like it fights to convince you that joy is not possible for it? It's fighting for its life. Now, the good news is, why do you keep coming back to this? Well, because on a level that you might not always be in touch with, you're fighting for your life.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Your heart knows that joy is available to you. That joy, your heart knows that joy is your authentic nature. And that's what keeps bringing you to practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep. So here's what we can say. You are having exactly the right experience. Yeah? Because you're seeing it. You're seeing this.
Yep.
That's the whole point of awareness practice. Because as we see it, we become real. Once we get it, it begins, right? It's a process. But once we see it so clearly, we begin not to choose, not to believe ego in the same way. To look for the moment, to choose the moment, to choose happiness, to choose joy, to drop the conversation in the head. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You are so welcome. Keep up good work.
Thanks.
Thanks, Diana. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Tom from Arizona.
Hey, Tom.
So, ego's ploy right now is that I have nothing to add to the last, 15 conversations that have happened this week. But what I was so excited to see is the first few days after I read the new assignment, ego kind of had me trapped in, you don't really know joy. And but that wasn't the assignment after I read it, for the third or fourth time, is to know joy or even identify or whatever. It was just to look for it. And so when I started just coming back to one and breathing, and I saw that it wasn't necessary, it was just kind of spontaneously joyful and enjoyable again to practice this particular assignment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so wonderful to hear you lay it out like that, right? Because, first of all, that ego places, you've got to know what to do. Everything is an intellectual, it's at the level of the mind, right? That this is how joy feels, this is how joy is, this is whatever it is. And we have to... The first step in practice, the training, is to have our experience, not stay in the mind, which actually requires dropping out of the mind in order to be able to have the experience. And so the assignment, you know, we watch that process of ego receive the assignment, do the assignment, be unsuccessful in the assignment, condemn the assignment, condemn you. And if we stick with it, it drops in to, okay, well, what the assignment, let me really pay close attention to the assignment. Let me read that assignment. And then something moves past that to, wait, I'm not being asked to know joy. I'm just being asked to notice it. And so then we do that, right? We start to notice that, to pay attention to the breath. And there we go. That dropping out of the ego process is where the joy is, that relaxed enjoyment that we experience when we're not caught in the conversation.
Exactly. That's exactly my experience. And just dropping that the whole week, when, even if it's one breath or two breaths before I get identified or, you know, quit paying attention, those one or two breaths, and they're extending to much longer and much more time during my day, I just have this start of a grin on my face. And I look at that, if I have to put a label on that, it's like, well, that's joy. That there it is. You know, it shows up from actually following the guidance and paying attention. And it just spontaneously, okay. And I'd never really, well, I had had the experience, but much more limited, much less obvious, of letting life drop in. I'm like, what does that mean? And man, this exercise really showed joy's just going to drop in if you just follow the guidance and practice.
Yes, it is. And, you know, Tom, we have another adage in practice, right? Joy is there when you stop doing everything else. Because it's the constant. And all I have to do is redirect the attention. And you're right. With the training, what happens is that reality or truth is much more available because the on-ramps to it have been developed rather than the off-ramps, which is continuous attention on the conversation. So we sort of reverse engineer the process, right?
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much. I really didn't have much more to say than that, but this has just been wonderful. And again, thank you.
Oh, that's a lot to say, Tom. Thank you so much.
Gotcha.
Let's just keep grinning.
I am.
Okay. Take care.
Srini, here's the one I want to underline this morning, okay? That people are constantly told by ego, you don't have anything to say, you don't have anything to offer, you're not having the experience, you know, don't call in, don't put yourself in the queue, you don't. And then what we get is these brilliant insights and this just outrageous clarity. So if you just pay attention and do the practice, it will happen. I mean, that is the wisdom of the ages, right? Yeah. And the voice in John's head, or Diana's head, or Vanessa's head, or whoever's head, will say, "Oh no, you don't have anything to contribute. You're not doing it right. You're not having the right experience."
Yeah. Well, and to me, Sherry, I think what the point is that spiritual truth that, I mean, we say it however we want to say it, but divinity is never boring. Divinity is always sparkling. And so in every moment, it's just wonderful. And so that's what the voice is negating all the time, right? It can't be repeated. It has to be original. There's nothing to say. I'm negative. And that's describing itself. It's describing the voice, not the moment.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just it. And, of course, the courage that's required is for us to jump off the cliff, right? So people have been playing with that. You know, I'll just put myself in the queue. I don't have anything to say. I don't know what I'm going to say. And then life just start speaking in this not only brilliant but extraordinarily hopeful and clear way.
Yeah.
And we all benefit.
Yeah.
All right, I think we have time for one more caller. Here we go, next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, this is Lauren.
Hello, Lauren.
Hello. So I come from a long line of negativism. I inherited it from my mother, who inherited it from her mother. So to notice joy is just like...
Who inherited it from Eve, who was heavily influenced by Adam.
So noticing joy is not something I would ever do on my own. And so I'm practicing counting, and yesterday I took the dogs for a real short walk, and I was counting, and I got till five, and then I stopped counting for some reason, and I looked behind me, and all of a sudden those dogs were it was such a joyful sight to see those two little dogs behind me, and I never would have recognized it as such.
Yes, that's just it, isn't it? It's what Ashwini was just saying, right? Joy is there all the time.
Yes.
We just get bamboozled into not registering it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, you know, Lauren, when you started talking about the dogs, of course, that was, you know, I thought, well, do you love those dogs? Do they make you happy? You know, do you just keep them because, yeah. And of course you do. Of course you love them. Right? Uh-huh. Of course they bring you joy. Yeah. But we're not supposed to get that.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So, thanks.
In fact, very often, the way it works is you look at the little dogs, you feel the joy, the love, the joy in your heart, and here comes a voice that says, yeah, and, you know, they're going to die one day, or, oh, my God, there's so much work, or...
It is so
hot, and you've got to take them out for a walk, or if they're so dirty, and they're going to bring ticks and fleas into that. You know, whatever, however ego can take that love and turn it into a negative.
Oh, that's so true. Thank you so much, you guys.
And what's really true, Lauren?
Yeah.
Again, I know this is the drum I constantly beat on, but the whole point of what we're doing is you've seen it. You've seen it. So you recognize, yep, that's deep, old, deep conditioning. All these poor people forever in the world have had this same awful struggle and suffering. But you have seen it for what it is. And you no longer have to do that. Now you're on a trajectory of turning that around.
It feels like it, Sherry. It does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you, Sherry and Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Thanks, Lauren. Oh, it's just so delightful to have that experience of the direct experience of just having life show itself to us.
Yes.
You know,
it's
absolutely. I just turned and looked out of my window, and there's this tiny mourning dove on sunning herself on the fence, and she's just puffed up so fat, you know. And that as soon as you are there for anything or here for anything in life, it is the flooding of that experience, which is joy. Because there's no mental assessment or anything intruding in being here for it.
That's right. And if there is, as we were just saying with Lauren, we know how to turn that around. I can see the negativity come in, and I can say, no, thank you. I don't want to do that. I'm going to be here. There's beauty and joy all around me. I'm going to focus on that.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the most unexpected of things, right, Jerry? Because, you know, for me, who would have ever imagined that my joy consists of watching a little lizard do push-ups on a stone slab? Exactly. Exactly. All right.
Yeah, because I've known you for long enough to know that there was a time when you were actually afraid of lizards.
Yeah.
Talk about a transformation from being afraid of. Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's the road we're on.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Go happy.